What a good gift and blessing to see you all here tonight to pray with you. May I pose a question at the start of this homily? Yes, I may, because I'm preaching and you're not responsive. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Why did you come here tonight? Why did you come here tonight? The reasons could be all over the place. It's Sunday. My friends were going. I feel better when I come. I feel worse when I don't. I feel guilty if I don't show up. I love the Lord. All over the spectrum. Whatever your reason, and I truly mean this, whatever your reason, it's so good that you're here. And as great as last week was when people were like literally hanging off the rafters with all your parents and everything else, this is better. Because last week, you could have been here because your folks dragged you. But this week, there's a heightened level of choosing. You being here is a choice. And by the way, your choosing corresponds to the deepest needs of the human heart, of your heart and every other heart of every other person you'll ever meet. Because we are hardwired for God. We're made for Him. Yesterday, August 28th, the feast of the great Saint Augustine, and his most famous line, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." He said that 1,600 years ago, and he was dead right then, and he's dead right now. We are made for God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. As we get more and more secular, we get worse and worse. Our culture gets worse and worse. Our world gets worse and worse because you have all these restless hearts trying to find fulfillment in things that by definition cannot fulfill the human heart because we are made for God and our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. So, good job choosing to come to Mass tonight. But what if we flip the question that I posed? What if we speculated about this? Why does God come to us? Not just why did I come to Mass, but why does God come to us? Because He does come to us. Every time two or three are gathered, Jesus says, "I am present in their midst." Every time the Word of God is broken open, Jesus is present. And then par excellence, every time on that altar, when He makes Himself present in the Eucharist, He comes to us. And He chooses to, by the way, just like you chose, He chooses. And His choice is more primary and actually way more compelling than your choice to come to Mass tonight. It's fascinating. It's a great mystery to think that God would choose to come to us, that He would choose to be with us because He needs none of us. His plans aren't dependent on any of us, but He chooses us. And that's something to ponder, that somehow, some way, He wants us. He chooses us. Here's the reason. God chooses to come to us because He wants to have a heart-to-heart encounter with every single person here. Every single person here. Whether you're strong in faith or weak, whether you had a good summer spiritually or a bad one, whether you had a good weekend spiritually or a bad one, whether you've been freed by grace or you're stuck in sin, whether you're joyful tonight or sad, confident or afraid, God comes to each one of us. And He wants to meet us on the level of the heart, the deepest place, the deepest part of who we are. Heart to heart. That's it, right there, heart to heart. Everything that we talk about God with, grace, salvation, conversion, commandments, the scriptures, everything about this place, the crucifix, the altar, the architecture, the art, the music. It's all meant to point us back to that heart-to-heart encounter, which is quite literally the heart of the matter. That's all that it's about. Now listen, Jesus gives us his heart so that our hearts can be forgiven, healed, set free, and restored by his love. Now, let me say that again. Jesus gives us his heart so that our hearts can be forgiven, healed, set free, and restored by his love. That's why it's not just enough to come to Mass. Our observance of Mass, as good as it is that you're here, it has to go beyond the mere external, you just being here. That's not enough. We come to Mass to be changed. To be changed. Notice, to be changed, not to change ourselves, but to be changed, which means that there is a power at work right here, right now, that is bigger than all of us, bigger than our ability to fix ourselves. We need a Savior, and Jesus is our Savior. We come to be changed by the power of his word. The author to the letter to the Hebrews says, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to split marrow and bone. The word of God, living and effective, can change our lives. Jesus, in the Eucharist, may we never take that gift for granted. There is power there. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, one worthy reception of Jesus in the Eucharist would be enough to make us all saints. One worthy reception, because it's Jesus himself, the source and the summit, the source of all holiness. And if I receive him as I ought, it would be enough to make me a saint. How many masses have I said? How many masses have I gone to? I should be a lot holier than I am. Got to open my heart more. I got to be changed. And so do you. The point is that we come not to just do something and check the box and run down our spiritual checklist, Sunday Mass did it, but rather we come to be changed, to live differently, that every one of us should be different from having come here tonight to pray. And then we live our lives differently the rest of the week. But that change has to start inside, at the level of the heart. And by the way, my friends, Jesus is very, very real about the situation of the human heart wounded by sin. It's like, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That could be me, that could be you. So we just come to Mass. We could honor God with our presence here, but our hearts could be far from him. And he's not okay if our hearts are far from him. We try to keep our hearts from God, sometimes far from God. Now, why would we do that? Because they're a mess. Because our hearts are a mess. Wounded by sin, they're a mess. And Jesus names the mess. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile. Well, our hearts are a mess, but our hearts are also made for God. And so Jesus, recognizing that contradiction, steps into it. He's not afraid of the mess. In fact, he opens his heart. Quite literally, he opens his heart. His heart is pierced out of love for us on the cross so that our hearts might be healed. The gift of his heart makes all the difference. And it's open. His heart is open to every one of us in every one of our struggles. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, I'll give you rest. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And if we come to his heart, then his heart changes our heart. This is from Ezekiel, God's great promise. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. Natural hearts, my friends. We are made for God. And it's his grace that heals our hearts, takes away the rough edges, the hardness, and allows us to be who we are called to be. Now, we have to respond. This isn't magic pixie dust that we sprinkle on people at Mass or in any of the sacraments. It's grace. And God's grace demands our cooperation. We have to do something. We have to act. There's a great saint, St. Irenaeus, second century. He has a good line. He said, God would not save us without us. God would not save us without us. Could he have? Sure. Would he have? Uh-uh. God would not save us without us. Or in the second reading tonight, be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deluding yourself. We have to act. We have to do something. Now, listen, we could go forever about what we should do, but let me give you two simple principles. What should you do in order to allow Jesus to change your heart? First, pray. Make time for prayer. Show up. Come into this chapel, any of the chapels on campus. Pray in the quiet of your room, wherever you can pray, but pray. Because nothing works unless we meet Jesus and his heart begins to heal our hearts. Then second, I'm not going to give you the list of what you should or shouldn't do on the weekend or when you're alone by yourself, on your phone, on your computer, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. That's all other stuff. Let me just give you this principle and this one alone. Make all your decisions with Christ's heart and your heart in mind. Which is to say this, when you are choosing something, just ask yourself very simply, does this action bring my heart closer to his heart or further away? Is what I'm doing right now going to bring me closer to the heart of Christ or move me further away? That's very simple if you ask that question. I said it's simple. I didn't say it's easy. It demands choosing. Kind of like you had to choose to come to Mass tonight. But it's simple. We overcomplicate things. Does this action that I'm about to do bring my heart closer to Jesus' heart or further away? See, friends, it's all about the heart. Heart to heart encounter. His heart and your heart. Meant to be closer every single day. Let it be done, because that's what we're made for.